about to get good. It's about to get great. Into hour number two. Welcome back. What's cracking? Or welcome to the program. I'm Jim Rome. I'm live in the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. All right, so we start hour number two. It's a three-hour program, as you know. Still ahead, Brian Scalabrine in hour number three. Anthony Furkser in hour number three. I've got a smack-off player profile coming up, probably sometime this hour. I've got thoughts on Jimbo Fisher making it much worse, not better. And what I have right now is one of my favorite guests, one of my favorite people, 7 years in the NFL, an NFL analyst, host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. He is a Westwood One and CBS Sports Network broadcaster. You can follow him at Ross Tucker NFL. Not only a good friend of the program, but appearing courtesy of a website that you clones crash every single time. My front page story. He is Ross Tucker. Ross, what's going on?
Jim, everything's awesome. Good to talk with you. I'm actually driving to have lunch with some buddies at an Italian restaurant right now. So I'm in a good place, a little bit of a crossroads in life because, like, am I the guy that gets gnocchi as an appetizer and the chicken parm? Or am I at the stage in my life where I wrap up half the chicken parm? I'm kind of conflicted as to where I am when I go out to eat with other football guys.
Yeah, so what do you do? I mean, like, you're a football guy at heart, but now you're a TV guy, you've cut weight. Exactly what do you do when it comes to portions now, Ross? Do you seafood, eat food, or do you seafood and wrap up food?
Well, so this is where I need to get better, to be honest with you, because I work out like twice a day to try to stay under 250. But I don't eat as well as I actually eat pretty well during the week. But when I go out to eat, portion control, it's never been a strength. So here's the thing. Here's what I've kind of decided. Tell me if you think this is good. Now, I'm going out with my buddy and his two boys for lunch. They both play football at Wisconsin, okay? Like, they're one's a tight end, one's off. They're gigantic, okay? And they're going to get some sweet appetizers. So I have to partake in that, right? So then when I have the chicken parm, it's a big portion. And I just got to get to the point in my life, you know, I'm 43, where I eat half of it, maybe even three quarters, and that's enough. And I take the rest home. That'll be an awesome lunch tomorrow or Thursday. So, look, they're not going to do that, right? These kids are going to destroy, like, three chicken parms. I'm not going to feel great about myself. In the moment, I'm going to feel like I'm an old loser, but later tonight when I'm laying in bed and thinking about it, I'm going to realize I ultimately did the right thing for my current station in life.
I think that's the call. You have to decide. You have to decide what you associate pain and pleasure with. And as much pain as there might be in not finishing that plate, there will be even more pain if you do finish that plate and you give in and you lose that personal battle. Ross, quickly, so if you're working out twice a day, what do the workouts consist of? What are your two workouts every single day?
Yeah, so the morning is always in the exercise room. So I've got, I either do like the stepper or the bike, yoga, or I lift weights. And then, especially this time of year, I'll get a swim in the afternoon. You know, the one thing I was smart about, Jim, I have not done a single thing to impact my joints since I retired. As soon as my career was over, I went immediately to joint health preservation mode. Like, I see these guys, like, God bless, like, Alan Faneca ran a marathon. Like, no way, dude. I don't do any running. I don't play basketball. I tried that once. The next, like, my back and knee were killing me. So everything I do, like, I'm, like, in the air, right? Like, I'm, like, elliptical, a stepper, a bike. If I do go on a treadmill, I just walk on an incline. I am trying to take a long-term horizon of the joint. So I'm going for, like, a 70-year-old knee replacement as opposed to a 55-year-old knee replacement.
See, I love that, Ross, and I totally know what you're talking about. Ross Tucker joining us, because I'm similar to you. I'm looking at low-impact stuff. Like, when I was younger, I was all about the treadmill every single day, just hammering away. But as I got older, I didn't want that pounding on my joints, so I started to go elliptical. I started to go Peloton. Had a bit of an issue with the Peloton recently, so I took it outside, and I went for a run. I went for a hike run 2 days in a row. Dude, Ross, like, I feel great. My weight's good. I thought that I needed hip replacement surgery after one run on the pavement. So let's not change up, man. You are doing the right thing.
No, dude, you are so right. It's just, you got to realize, it's just not worth it. Like, there's other ways you can exercise. Like, riding a bike is great. Just do it in ways that don't impact the joint. That's my philosophy. There's other guys that they don't care, but, like, they're gonna regret that later on.
Ross, it gets so much worse, too. I don't want to be this guy. And the one thing I'm trying to do is, I don't want to skew old, but I don't even know how I did it. I don't know if it was because I was doing crunches and ab work or if it was the actual cardio, but I started to get this pain, like a deep pain, and didn't feel right. And I ignored it because I went with my inner David Goggins, where you got to suffer, you got to go. Until all of a sudden, I broke out in a sweat on the air one day, and the pain was excruciating. And I went to see my doctor. He's like, oh, yeah, that's a double hernia. I'm like, great, doc, can you hit me with some pills? He's like, no, that's not how that works. You need surgery for a hernia, and you have two of them. I'm like, why? What happened? I didn't do anything. But I did, so it gets worse.
Oh, my God. Double hernia? You tried to tough it out? See, that's funny. Like, you got to get to the stage. When you're over, like, 30 years old, it's no longer like the no pain, no gain. It's like, how about just gain without actual pain? You can do that. But honestly, so much of it is diet and what you eat, and that's where I just have to continue to be better. I mean, it just is what it is, man. Like, we're not 20 years old anymore.
No, dude. It's plus, if that's how it is when you get to be 30, wait till you get to be 50. And the worst part of this was, I literally said to the doctor, all right, so where does that lead me? I know it's going to be a matter of time before I can schedule a surgery. Can I still at least ride my Peloton? He goes, I don't see why not. So the second he diagnosed me with that, I went home and I rode 20 miles. And then it didn't make it better. Anyway, that's where that puts us. We could do the entire thing again without talking football, and we might have to, because I want to ask you one thing, Ross. You're going for Italian food today, but you had a post, which to me is not polarizing at all recently, but you're late to Thai food, and you immediately put it in your top five ethnic foods. Ross, Thai food is freaking incredible. It's always been my top three. How did it go for you, and do you feel like you've been missing out?
Yeah, it's incredible. It's clearly top three for me now. My wife, you know what the truth is? My wife went to business school, okay? And we wanted to go on a trip. She wanted to go on a trip to Thailand. And I was like, nah. So she made me try Thai food. After I tried Thai food, and I realized how amazing. I don't know how they get their noodles like that. The big noodles, like Pad Siu, I don't know how they do it. It is so delicious. In fact, I want to retire to Thailand. Like, all day, the massages are like $2.50. I'll just alternate, Jim, between Pad Siu, massage, Pad Thai, pool, massage, Pad Siu again. I mean, can you imagine what it's like to live in Thailand? And by the way, that whole day will cost me $12.22.
I was just going to say, right? You get the best food in the world, and you get the best work on your body for $20. How do you beat that? Just make sure you have a Comrex so we can still do our thing and you can still do your business. You know, Ross, in terms of body, like on a serious note, you did participate in the race to end CTE again over the weekend. You and I have touched on this in the past, but for those who do not know, why is that event so important to you?
Well, because I know guys that are starting to have issues, and because the founder of the Concussion Legacy Foundation, Chris Nowinski, was a guy I went against in college. He's a friend now, but he was a D tackle at Harvard when I was at Princeton, and no one has done more for the advancement of CTE than Chris Nowinski. And I don't have very many causes, right? Like if someone emails me and they're walking for cancer or whatever, and it's a friend, you know, I pretty much always donate like a standard $100. You know, I don't do more or less. Like that's what I don't care who you are. If you're a friend of mine and you're volunteering time, boom, I'm in, because I don't volunteer that much time. But the one time I do is for CTE, because that could be me. And it's already been some people I know. It's why I wasn't that surprised that Ali Marpet, the guard for the Bucks, surprisingly retired after 7 years. You know, as I tweeted, I think, at Ross Tucker NFL, you're much more likely, okay, to regret retiring too late than you are retiring too early. I mean, you can always come back from retirement if you want to, but if you go a couple years too long, you're going to end up having a lot of regrets later on. So for me, it's the least I can do. If Chris Nowinski and the people at the Concussion Legacy Foundation are going to do this type of great research and work, they're close to being able to diagnose it in people that are living. If they're going to do stuff like that, then the least thing I can do is spread the word on social media a little bit and try to raise some money for him.
You bet. Ross Tucker is joining us. Ross, George Kittle recently told PFT that when you compare Travis Kelce's numbers to those of wide receivers, quote, he gets paid half of what a wide receiver makes, which just boggles my mind, end of quote. What's your reaction when you hear that? And now the receivers are getting the contracts they're getting, is it time to see tight ends to see a big jump as well?
Well, it's so funny you say that, Jim, because I actually, on the last episode of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, I had Darren Waller on, the Raiders tight end, and I was talking about the same thing. I mean, it's crazy how underpaid tight ends are. You know, Kelce getting half what the top receivers are. How about this one, okay? The last 3 years, 2019, 2020, 2021, you're playing against the Raiders. The number one threat, number one guy you're worried about is Darren Waller. I mean, I've seen it, Jim. I mean, he is who they ran the passing game through. He is who teams tried to defend. He's scheduled to make $6 million this year, Jim. So, look, that's a ton of money to everybody listening and me and whatever. That's like 25% of what Davante Adams, his new teammate, is making. It can't happen. Like, so, first of all, Darren Waller can't be making half of the already underpaid Travis Kelce. And then 25 cents on the dollar of Davante Adams. You know, I said to him, I'm like, listen, man, I don't think I'd be going to training camp if I were you. And he said, well, my agent is talking to the team, and, you know, he's working on that. And if I have to make a decision at some point, then I have to make a decision. But I think tight ends, even more so than running backs, are the most underpaid position group in the league. The Chiefs' passing game goes through Kelce. The Niners, I mean, Kittle might be – you know, I know Debo, they're probably about to break off Debo, you know, I don't know, $22, $23 million. I'd be very interested if you asked Kyle Shanahan if he'd only have one, Kittle or Debo, who he would take. And he still might pick Debo, but I'm not so sure about that. When you watch Kittle destroy people as a blocker, when you watch how they move Kittle around, I'm not convinced Kyle Shanahan would tell you that he'd rather have Debo, yet Debo might get a deal that pays him $10 million more a year? It just makes no sense. I mean, these tight ends need to fight the power and not just let them get 500 grand more than the guy before them each time. They need to be up there closer to where the wide receivers are.
I think you make such good points. Such good points. Ross Tucker joins me for a few more moments. Now, Ross, you and I have not spoken since the draft and since the Eagles made their moves during the draft. Bringing in A.J. Brown and selecting Jordan Davis in the first round and now adding James Bradbury as well, what are your thoughts on how they've approached the offseason, and then what kind of a year are you expecting from them?
Well, it's really interesting, right, because the Eagles clearly think that they have an opportunity this year, right? I mean, they go out and they get Hassan Reddick to start free agency, double-digit sack guy, back-to-back years. But then the move for A.J. Brown, and then in particular I would say Bradbury, since it's only a one-year deal, you really don't do that, Jim, if you don't think you're going anywhere this year, right? Like, you don't give James Bradbury, whatever it was, $7.5 million up to $9 million on a one-year deal. unless you see opportunity. And quite frankly, I see opportunity for them. You know, they're not going to be a favorite over the Rams or the Bucks with Brady back, but the NFC is a heck of a lot more winnable than the AFC is, and it wouldn't shock me if the Eagles were in the mix at the end. I mean, if Hurts takes another step forward with the guys they've added, I mean, A.J. Brown, N'Kobe Dean at linebacker, they could be right there. And I'll tell you another thing, Jim, and I just said this on the Even Money podcast, the betting podcast I have, that elbow injection for Stafford, that's not good, bro. I mean, think about this, okay? You know the way these quarterbacks are. They're like pitchers. You know how valuable their arm is to them. There is no chance, okay, that Stafford got that injection in his elbow without talking to two or three doctors, without it really bothering him to the point where the second or third doctor in a row said, you know what, maybe inject it with an anti. These guys aren't getting injections in their elbow just for the heck of it. Now, I'm not saying he's done or I'm not going that far. I'm just saying whenever they poo-poo an injury this time of year, I get my antenna up a little bit.
It seems to me, Ross, if you're taking the spike on your moneymaker, then it's a thing. I'm looking at it right now. I know you've seen this. You mentioned your betting podcast. The Eagles are plus 2,500 on DraftKings to win it all. You got to hit that just to hit that, number, right?
It's something you should strongly consider. I haven't even looked to see. Yeah, I mean, I haven't even looked to see where their season win total went, but I think when it was 9 or 9.5, I loved the, I mean, they won 9 games last year. I love the over on that. And I do think if you're going to go for a longer shot Super Bowl winner, I think the Eagles are a great choice. Now, of course, when I say that, Jim, everybody's going to say I'm a homer because I do the Eagles preseason games. I'm from there, but you're the one that brought up, you're obviously thinking the same thing.
Yeah, you're a homer or you're inside and you have information. And since when is anybody not a homer when they cover a team? I've got no issue with that whatsoever. And I'm not saying exclusively, like you want to spread that bet. You want to take some shots. I'm looking, if I'm going to hedge, I'm going to hedge hard somewhere else. But if I'm looking for opportunities and looking to hit a home run and I see them at plus 2,500, I'm going to look at that. Now, I've got another over-under for you, Ross, as long as we're talking gambling. What is the over under on the clones crashing my front page story again today? Is it 10 minutes? Is it 15 minutes? Is it 7 minutes? Because the fact of the matter is, Father's Day is coming up. So hit everybody up with this opportunity that you have for them.
Well, that's funny that you say that, because I was going to say, I don't know if the clones can do it this time. But, yeah, nobody knows what to get their dad for Father's Day. Literally nobody knows what to get their dad for Father's Day. Your dad, everybody listening, your dad's one of the only people you know that still reads the newspaper. So why not give him a cover story that's framed with him on it, pictures of him and the whole family with a headline that he will absolutely love. He'll have no idea it's coming, and it'll be hanging up in his house forever. So anytime you come, you bring the kids, his grandkids, they'll get to see it. They'll see Pop-Pop or whatever you call them, Grandpa. They will absolutely love it. And I don't know, I think, Jim, after the last time, they assured me again. Maybe they hadn't implemented the new thing to make sure it didn't crash, but we'll see. I'll text my guy, and we'll see if they can do it again. MyFrontPageStory.com. You don't know what to get your dad. He does not want a power washer or socks. Power washers are unbelievable, but he already has one. MyFrontPageStory.com. He doesn't already have that.
All right. First of all, I love this notion that first things first, your old man, your father, is the only one who still reads the newspaper. So get him the best newspaper ever. I love that. That will never go out of style until, well, frankly, I hate to say this, Ross, until all of our dads are in the ground. You're right. They will always read the newspaper as long as there are newspapers. So get them that. And then clones, there is a challenge in that. Now, I don't know, Ross, if your IT guys have increased bandwidth or if they promised it would never happen again. But clones, take one last run at this. You have a streak. You have crashed the site every single time we have talked about MyFrontPageStory.com, MyFrontPageStory.com. And if anything else, you do got to find Pop something to get. Dad is impossible to shop for. I know this. Every time they come at me with like, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? I'm fine. I'm good. I don't need anything. The one thing I don't have, though, is My Front Page Story. So go there. Do it for your dad. MyFrontPageStory.com. Ross, you know what? Turn it loose, dude. You've been working out twice a day, every day. Don't bring any food home today, man. Just eat it all.
Dude, it's so funny you just said that. You just got me so pumped up. I decided during your My Front Page Story crash the website speech, I'm eating the whole chicken parm. It's like three things of chicken. I'm eating the whole thing. Yep. I'm still a young man. I'm 43. I serve my country. I played high school football. I'm eating the whole chicken parm.
You do it, Ross. You're aging in reverse. I'm watching you. I see you on camera. You look great. You have figured out a way to age in reverse. Eat the entire parm. Now, clones, he's doing his job. You do yours. Crash the bleeping site. Get it. MyFrontPageStory.com. MyFrontPageStory.com. And don't do it just to do it, although that's what you clones do. Don't do it just to do it, but do it because it's a great product and Father's Day is coming up. Ross, have an amazing day. Great to have you on, and sorry ahead of time for the clones crashing the site yet again.
I just texted my guy, so we'll see whether or not they get it done, and I'll just have a salad for dinner.
Yeah, you got it, Ross. Have a great day. Thank you very much. Ross Tucker, he's the best. Absolutely one of my favorite people. Do it, clones. Do it again. Flex. Flex. MyFrontPage.com. MyFrontPageStory.com. Excuse me. MyFrontPageStory.com. Chalk says it is not loading. Clones, do it for a couple of reasons. Number one, do it to prove that you can do it. Flex. Do it because you love Ross, and I know you do. We all do. Ross is one of the best guys in the business. Do it because you can do it. Do it because, like, why does anybody do anything? Because they can. Do it because you can do it. Do it because you love Ross. Do it because you want to flex. And do it because it really is a really good product and a really good idea, especially for Father's Day. And do it because he said that you can't do it. Do it because his people told him they won't do it again. They can't. We fixed it. MyFrontPageStory.com. And do it because he's such a good guest. And apparently you've done it again, clones. Before I could even get to break, you crashed his site.
You did it.
Sometimes, clones, I know I got to keep you straight. You know I got to set you straight, but sometimes, damn, you make me proud. Sometimes you make me really, really proud. And it's in those moments where you crash his site when even Ross says, yeah, I don't think so. I think we're good, Jim. My IT guys have assured me your people cannot do it. You did it. Take a bow. And by the way, support him and his site because he supports us and our product. My thanks to Ross Tucker. All right, let's break. So much fun. Brian Scalabrini, next hour. Anthony Ferkser, another, like Ross, another Ivy Leaguer, next hour. Let me tell you about my buddies at Famous Smoke Shop. First of all, they are sponsoring the Smack Off. The $5,000 is coming from my guys at Famous Smoke Shop. Thank you very much. Number two, we're talking Father's Day. I already hit you up with an idea. Here is another idea. Make sure you're ready with an awesome gift for dad and not one where he's going to fake a reaction to make you feel better. Whether it's premium cigars, humidors, or cigar accessories, Famous Smoke Shop has your dad covered. If he's picky, just get him a gift card. They've got that too. Famous Smoke offers over 1,000 brands to choose from and was named the best place to buy cigars online by Cool Material and Cigar World. You will find amazing deals on everyday cigars and highly rated classics, including Romeo, Monte Cristo, Acid, Macanudo, Olivia Infuente. Here is your opportunity to save $10 off your purchase of $50 or more when you go to famous-smoke.com, famous-smoke.com. But you have to use the code ROME10 at checkout and save $10 off your purchase of $50 or more. If you want your favorite cigars or cigars delivered quickly and guaranteed fresh, it's got to be from famous-smoke.com. Great cigar deals only at famous-smoke.com. And remember, use the promo code ROME and the number 10.
You're listening.
All right, so a quick segment, but a lot of reaction to Ross and a lot of reaction to Hefty in that story about Hefty and Bones McKay. And the two parts of that story was that he owed him $900,000. And when he finally did get around to chipping him off, it was only $400. And he still owed him a half a mil. And then on top of that, he was hoarding all the flags from the 18th hole when it's just customary. You know, as a show of appreciation and respect and love and thank you, you give the caddy the 18th flag. It's everybody does, except Hefty. So what it tells me is this. If these reports are true, and I've got no reason to believe that they're not based on who they involve, Bones and Hefty, and based on who reported them, Alan Shipnook, who's extraordinary what he does. If he really did owe his caddy $900,000 and was not paying him, and again, it does not sound like a gratuity. It sounds like a payment owed. If he owed him 900 gur and was not paying him money that he owed him, and it was an ongoing thing and ultimately led to their split, then either he's an all-time bad guy or he's broke as hell or both. And then, if he's not giving him the flag stick, the flag from 18, when everybody does, you know, if you have a passing of a grandparent, I understand that, you know, in that moment. But the guy won 19 times and had four majors and never once gave his caddy the customary flag. You're an extremely bad guy, a petty guy, a selfish guy. Like that one source said, he gets the jacket. He gets the trophy. He gets the big check. He gets the glory. Those caddies do a hell of a lot more than carry the bag. I mean, they work and make a difference and matter and help you make money, lots of money. This is why you chip them off a customary standard industry percent. And you give them the flag as a show of appreciation. Him not giving him the flag shows his true colors, which brings me back to what I've always said about this guy. And, well, most people. We don't know these guys. We don't know these guys. I've said this for years on this program. I host the program. I interview these guys, and I don't know these guys. Like you think you do, but based on what? An 8-minute interview? A soundbite? No, what? Social media? Instagram? We don't know these people. Some of the guys who you think are the best guys are the biggest a-holes there are. And some of the guys who you think are jerks are actually really good guys. You don't know. This guy.
You know, toughen up.
This says, hey, Rome, Hefty is the biggest swine Hefty. Degenerate a-hole to ever grace a golf course. Whether it's his gambling, having connections to the college cheating scam, his weird financial scams, and now his mistreatment of his caddy. This guy is the worst. But the worst part of it all is the scam he pulled on golf fans. He always tried to act like a politician, being completely phony. He always tried to be a crowd favorite. Yet all this time, he just scammed everybody and lied to all of our faces. What a complete tool. Unwore that fat ass pig.
Fat ass.
Named Phil Mickelson. Pig. Damasio in Albuquerque.
Let's keep it real.
Let's keep it real, Phil. I mean, how many different situations has this guy ended up in that were so unsavory? How many people did he roll with that were so unsavory? And nothing ever stuck to the guy. And then when it finally did, when he finally couldn't charm his way out of something or lie his way out of something or unravel something, and it did stick to him, he's not coming around. Not owning it, not apologizing for it. When I've said this a million times, America has always been like the most forgiving place, especially of celebrities and especially of people they love. This guy was beloved. Man, just come out and look in a camera and lie. Just do what you always do. Lie. Just own it, man. I made a big mistake. I really regret it.
You're a liar.
I shouldn't have said it. I shouldn't have done it. Unless you're not sorry. It's there's one thing. You don't want to deal with the heat. It's obviously that. He's obviously in a bad place, bad headspace. Does not want to deal with the heat. Can't handle the heat. Has never had that heat. Doesn't want to handle the heat. Or number two, you're just not sorry. You're sorry you're in this situation, but you're not sorry for what you said. And by the way, you might, in fact, when you do come around, still do what you said that you would do and go to the rival tour. So it's not like you can apologize for that, because that might still be on the table. But in terms of real character, when the story comes out that he owed his caddy that amount of money and wouldn't pay him, either you're a really bad guy or you're broke ass, or both. And then when you're not giving up the 18th flag, that speaks almost as much as your non-payment and being a deadbeat. Again, not what people appear. For how many years were you all coming at me with, come on, Rome, best guy ever. Why you gotta hate? Why you gotta hate? He's such a good dude. He's one of us. He's one of us? He's one of us. That dude is the farthest thing in the world from one of you. He's got nothing in common with you. Dave the Rocky guy, when you bet as poorly as Hefty does, of course you can't afford to pay your caddy. How about that report in Shipnick's book that he gambled $40 million over a four-year period? And whatever you clones do, do not come in here and say, yeah, Rome, well, $40 million to him is $25 to you and me. The hell it is. $40 million over 4 years. $10 million a year. $10 million in gambling means you got to make $20 million. And even if he was making a reported $40 million, $40 million is not $40 million if you got to make $20 million to pay off $10 million in gambling, and there are lots of other commissions and fees that you have to pay. And apparently he wasn't paying them all. Romy, what a Delta Bravo Mickelson is for stiffing his caddy like that. Signed, Tiger, not picking up the tab for those Navy SEALs. There's just like industry standards. Like I'll even break it down like horse racing. They just take it right off the top. If there's a purse, 60% goes to the winner, X percent goes to the trainer, X percent goes to the jockey. It's like any other business. In the entertainment business, X percent goes to your agent, X percent goes to your manager, X percent goes to your attorney, X percent goes to your publicist. These things are non-negotiable, really. Or maybe you can negotiate a percentage. But you can't negotiate whether or not you want to pay people. You have to pay. I mean, this dude, not what he appears, but appearing more and more to be what he appears.
Let's keep it real.
Let's keep it real. All right, we'll take a break right now. When we return, see another guy revealing his true colors, Jimbo Fisher. Man, if I were you, dude, as hard as it is for you, stop bumping your gums.
I don't cheat, I don't lie.
Let me dumb this down. Stop being a spaz. It's a great word, spaz. I mean, dude, like, spaz. Like, he can't stop. He's talking faster and faster and more furiously and lashing out. Two things here, dude. The more you talk and the angrier you get, the more it feels like. I'm not accusing you of anything, but the more it feels like you have something to hide.
That's ridiculous.
If you're not doing anything wrong and you have nothing to hide, why are you so angry?
It's despicable.
When we come back, I will open it up to you, and I'm trying. I got to get that Smack Off player profile in here one way or another. It is Smack Off season. Stay tuned. Here is your sports update. Here.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm going to get to a Smack Off player profile in a minute, but remember, not all beef jerky is the same. Old Trapper's original old fashioned teriyaki, hot and spicy and peppered, all come in 4-ounce bags. So you can sample different flavors to find the best one for you. Ask for Old Trapper by name because no other jerky compares to Old Trapper. What is your beef? All right, let me do my best to get through this, and if not, I may jump into next hour. It's important. We have our first player profile of the Smack Off season. Now, we did call an audible. I thought that I was going to start with somebody different today. Not the caller we plan to start with, but after the show yesterday, we blew the plan up completely because of an RSVP call that we received from a one-of-one clone who is quickly becoming one of the most polarizing figures in the history of the show. And that figure is not even a human. That figure is a dog. Paul's dog. And that dog is already a made pooch around here. Because over the past year, that dog has somehow evolved from a novelty act to a legitimate threat and a contender to rip the whole thing. Legitimately, he's the first animal to ever rip a golden ticket, the first animal to ever participate in the Smack Off, the first animal to snag golden tickets in consecutive years. And yesterday, he became the first animal ever to drop an RSVP call.
I have a message for the Smack Off people. Should have let this sleeping dog lie. I'm the best in show. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Cujo. I'm Rin-Tin-Tin. There's no one like me. I'm from their fur. There's no one that can walk me. My bark is impetuous. My bite is impregnable. I'm just ferocious. Watch your heart. I want to eat your leftovers. Praise be to dog. Roar, Mike, scaring cowards, and then fading into Bolivia. Riff me, from out.
All right, so the only thing more amazing than the call itself is the reaction to the call. Basically, two reactions to that RSVP. Either you loved it, or you hate this guy's guts. Or you hate this dog's guts. There was nothing in between. Here's a small sampling of what the clones were tweeting after the phone call. The Prez tweets, I was having a bad morning, but after hearing Paul's dog, I'm so much better. Just got my pick to win the Smack Off. End of quote. John Paul Segura, quote, I just turned off your show because Paul's dog was ending it. What a load of childish garbage. Way to ruin an otherwise good show, dude. Lame. End of quote. Ray NSA. Hey, Jim, Paul's dog is a true dynasty. A dynasty of rat calls. End quote. Darth Todd, quote, have to mute Rome during the dreaded Paul's dog bit. That voice is annoying as hell, not to mention just dumb. End of quote. Jake Stover, quote, I think it's time to push out some Paul's dog merch. End of quote. Chris in Toronto, 22-year clone. Paul's dog has jumped the shark. There is nothing remotely funny about it. End quote. Juan Rivera, quote, "Dear Jim, I do have a dog in this fight." At Smackoff. Johansson, quote, "Paul's dog is some of the stupidest stuff you've ever done." Why, Jim? Why?
Why?
Fireball Phil, quote, "Paul's dog is the goat." Like, it went on and on like that. You get the point. And the point is, this mutt is a freaking lightning rod. Honestly, even Brad and Corona, the actual greatest caller ever to the program, even Bradley does not elicit this type of polarization. You either despise the dog and want to put him down, literally, or you love the dog. You think he makes the show, or you think he wrecks the show. The only other category is one of confusion. Like, if you missed the dog's debut, then you're wondering how the whole thing started in the first place. Like, where the hell did Rover come from? Totally fair question, with a rather straightforward answer. Paul in Buffalo called up one day back in December of 2020, and then his dog stole the show. Hey, Paul, what's up? How are you?
Hey, Jim. It's a pleasure to speak with you. First off, I'd like to really, my dog's barking.
Dude, what kind of dog is
that? I think he's kind of a lot of different ones, but I think he's a Ridgeback.
Okay.
And a Jack Russell. But anyhow, Jim, I want to, extend your support to the equine industry. My father, raised horses out of Toronto. And every winter, he would have to go down to New York. Oh, Alvin's getting me. So I became a Jets fan as my dad was living out of New York.
All right, Paul, thank you very much. Let me jump in here. Now, I've got something for you, Paul. Seizing an opportunity. You talk about an instant sensation. Rover rips a ticket on his first ever call. He's been one of the most consistent and somehow controversial callers to the program ever since, and he keeps getting better and better and better. Now, the amazing thing is, what happened to Paul? I wonder if Paul even knows that his dog is calling the show all the time. Like, what happened to Paul? This dog sings. This dog raps. This dog speaks Spanish. This dog went toe-to-toe with Jeff Passan. And the dog carries a bit of mystery and a whole lot of intrigue. And there's more. There's more where that came from. I want to get to it on the other side of the break because there is such a polarizing thing about this dog. I want to finish the thought and the profile when we come back.